May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another inspiring episode on the silsila Spiritual Cures. Wherever you are in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. Don't forget, when you make dua for yourself, your family and your community, then keep the ummah in your duas as well. Make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu that for the sake of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam, that he grants relief to the ummah from whatever type of difficulty and calamity the ummah is suffering from. That he Azza wa Jal grants shifa, cure to those who are sick and suffering, and protection against the oppressors as well. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will be taking some calls, and it's good to have a notebook, a diary, so that you can write down the important Madani pearls that will be discussed. We will go through different issues that are being faced by people. Who knows, maybe you are also going through these problems that we will be hearing about in a few moments. Or perhaps you know somebody. Or maybe in the future, you could experience these difficulties, and that notebook, the diary, you can use it as a reference book. As it is mentioned, ink is the best memory. And Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, capture knowledge by writing it down. We're going to share some awrad and wada'if, some invocations, some incantations as well for the problems that we will hear from our callers, inshallah azza wa jal. So stay tuned for that. Let's remember the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. How about we make some good intentions that, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others at least. It might benefit them. If they do it correctly, inshallah ta'ala, it will help them. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Time is fast, life is short. That's what they say. That's a reality. That's a fact. Time is going by. It's passing by. Whether we do something constructive and productive, or we remain negative and stagnant, time is just going to go by. So we need to create a mindset that every day of our lives, we need to do something. We need to dedicate some time to prepare for what is going to be coming very soon. And that is al-maut, death. We all have to go, we know it. Ready or not, it's going to happen. Not a second early, not a second late. So how do we prepare? Every day. And this is a mindset thing. If you change your mindset, you change everything. Once you understand what my purpose of life is, to worship Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do good deeds, to please Him Azza wa Jal, to prepare for the grave and the hereafter, then you won't be distracted by all these attractions and entertainments that are out there. Because that's what essentially they are, to distract us. And so every day, we need to take out some time, especially for our own benefit, to recite the glorious Quran. With translation from Kanzul Iman, with commentary from Miftahul Ihsan, which is in English, done by His Eminence Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, Allah grant him high stations in the hereafter. Every day, we should do our best to abstain from sins, fulfill rights of others, practice the sunnah, learn a sunnah for the day, recite salawat and durood paak, istighfar, make sincere tawbah, refresh and renew our iman, and obey Allah and His Rasul. Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is mentioned that the person who recites durood paak just one time, that person will receive 10 rewards. 10 sins will be removed, minor sins. And the person's rank in the court of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will be raised by 10 times. Just for reciting durood paak. The shortest duroods are sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That's 2 durood sharifs. It must be part of our daily routine. We need to get reconnected to the glorious Quran. Did you know that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that khayru dawa'i al-Quran. The best medicine is the Quran. We will request our director sahab and team to please go ahead with the first call. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Maulana, I would like to know what are some guidelines to take before one gets married. Jazakallah.
Ameen wa iyyakum. Well, this is a very important question for those who intend to make nikah. The very first thing that would be advised, what ulama-i-kiram, what mashayikh, what the scholars of Islam advise, is to make good intentions. When you feel like, okay, I'm ready, I want to make nikah, I want to get married, make your good intentions. That, why? For what reason? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to protect myself from committing sins, that if Allah Azza wa Jal grants me offspring, to nurture that next generation within the framework of the Sharia, and to be a comfort to my spouse. If both make these intentions and they live by it, that I'm going to live my life as a husband, as a wife, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to live my life in accordance to Islamic values and teachings. So these good intentions should be made beforehand. Now, when you are seeking out a partner for marriage, remember that is not just union between two people, rather two families. Because that boy, that girl, they have parents, grandparents, uncles, aunties. So you're getting two families united. If it's done with the correct intentions, if it's done correctly, that I will have a nikah, a simple nikah, without any extravagance and showing off or anything prohibited like music and dancing and all of these things, then inshallah azza wa jal, you know they say, niyat saaf manzil asan. If the intentions are pure, inshallah ta'ala, the destination will be easy. When seeking out a marriage partner, one of the first things to look for is the beliefs of the individual. Is it correct? Sunni sahihul aqidah. You see what happens today. Many people, many youngsters in particular, the first thing on their list is the physical attraction. Then comes other things. Physical attraction should be there, yes. But believe me, that's right at the end. It's right at the end. And if we put that as priority, then there could be issues. Because beauty fades with age. And if we're getting married because it's a family that's very wealthy, you don't know. Today the person is wealthy, tomorrow the wealth is gone. How many cases are there? So scholars, they advise, number one, is the person of correct beliefs. Is the person, and this is from both sides, the boy side, the girl side. These things need to be in order. And inshallah ta'ala, with the good intentions, things will work out. Remember, when a person gets married, it's not a bed of roses. Many are conditioned according to the entertainment industry of certain expectations without even learning what their rights and responsibilities are as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father. So correct belief is number one. That is checked. Is the individual punctual with their salahs? Are they Islamically inclined? Do they possess fear of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do they practice upon the sunnah? Are they an open sinner or not? Do they have haya, modesty? What about their akhlaq, their character, their mannerisms? Do they have sober habits? There's so many cases where both or maybe one of them is involved in drugs, different types of drugs, and those marriages unfortunately don't last. Does the person come from a good family? Is the person, now a girl will see, is the person or her family will see, is financially stable where they can maintain the family, they can provide the essentials, hajati asliya. Are they able to fulfill the necessary responsibilities? And then that physical beauty and attraction. Don't get lied to by this concept of romance and love before marriage. It doesn't exist. That is just infatuation, just emotions. Because true love is after marriage. Allah subhanahu, if the intentions are correct and these things are all, the boxes are checked and they make nikah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places love in their hearts for one another. You want to know what is true love? True love is whatever difficulties we are facing in our marriage, we are there for each other. We are the coolness and comfort of each other's eyes. We are garments to each other. So the Quran mentions, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun." They are garments to each other. What does a garment and clothing do? It gives you comfort. It hides your physical defects. It protects you against the elements. You are there to cover each other. You're going to have good days and not so good days. It's going to happen. But how are you dealing with it? By exposing each other? By being suspicious of each other? And then that destroys trust. Once trust and honesty doesn't feature in the relationship anymore, the relationship is doomed. Because honesty and trust is part of the foundation of a healthy marriage. We're facing a problem together. We work together to resolve it. Because yes, the storm will come. But it doesn't stay forever, doesn't stay permanently. Storms happen in the ocean. But you weather it out by sticking together, supporting each other. That's what moral support is all about. And the storm will pass and the ocean is calm again. And Shaitan jumps in there. One of the things that pleases Shaitan is the breaking up of a husband and wife. Because he knows, your society is made up of families. So let me target the families, that husband and wife relationship. If I can break that, I can break the society. If a person is wanting to get married, they just can't find a suitable marriage partner, somebody who is compatible, then the following should be done. If it's a boy, a male, then he should do this. If it is a girl, she is finding obstacles in her marriage, then either her father or her brother should do this with the intention of gaining thawab and finding a pious person for marriage. What should they do? They should sweep the masjid at least once a day. Preferably at that time when it is needed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willing, that person will be blessed. I want to share one more wazifa for all those who are wanting to settle down, wanting to get married, but just some obstacle. You can contact our istikhara department to do the istikhara. It's a free checking to determine if there's some spiritual obstacle there. And then the way forward. We have branches across the globe. Or you can download the free app, Ruhani Ilaj and Istikhara online. And you can request to istikhara checking there. And it has beautiful features, many different wada'i for different problems. So let me share one more with you, especially for those who find it difficult, challenging to find a compatible partner. When the person goes to sleep, then before sleeping, recite Suratul Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, 41 times. With Durood Sharif, 11 times before and after. And make dua thereafter for a compatible partner for nikah, for marriage. Also make the intention to avoid anything against the sunnah. Any unlawful customs, because that does affect the marriage. This must be done for 90 consecutive days, 90 consecutive days. Even if the person gets engaged, they must continue the 90 days. They must finish it off. And for Islamic sisters that have their days, then during those days, they will omit, they will leave out the word qul. So instead of qul huwallahu ahad, they will start from huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, till the end of the surah. And they should make dua to seek a partner in marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all those who want to settle down and all those who are married. Protect them from evil eyes and other types of spiritual problems. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Muhammad Suhail Attari, PMB, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, he has a beautiful show on the spiritual cures. My question is, there's a person who has body pains. What could be done to get rid of it? Jazakallahu khairan.
Ameen wa iyyakum. Body pains is commonplace amongst many people. The first thing to do, of course, is to identify what is causing the body pains. So maybe tests will need to be done. A visit to the doctor to determine what the diagnosis is, what are the root causes of the problem. The doctor would prescribe different treatments, different medications as well. And with the medical treatments, there are certain wada'if, certain things that can be done in order to relieve the person of those body pains, whether it's back pains or pains in the arms, the legs. You can get in touch with our any of our Ruhani Ilaj, spiritual cures branches and offices where istikhara is done, ilaj treatments are given, specialized string ta'weezes are given if a person has a pain in the hands, in the arms. Other ta'weezes, string ta'weezes for the legs, for the feet, or for any part of the body that should be tied. So visit any of our spiritual cures offices and you will be helped insha'Allah ta'ala. So besides whatever medical treatments you are on, one should recite the following one time. Blow onto the hand and rub or massage over the affected area that is painful. Somebody else can do it as well. If you are able to, then do it. It's very simple. Recite Ya Mughni. Meem, Ghoin, Noon, Ya. Ya Mughni. One time with Durood Sharif, once before and after, blow onto the hand. And then rub over that area. Every now and then, this should be done. Inshallah ta'ala, some benefit will be seen. For back pains in particular, continuously recite Ya Ghaniyu, Ya Ghaniyu, Ya Ghaniyu. Continuously for any back problems, back pains as well. For body pains in general, recite the following Bismillahi 3 times and then 7 times recite A'udhu billahi wa qudratihi min sharri ma ajidu wa uhadhir. At the end is a dhal, dhal and ra. A'udhu billahi wa qudratihi min sharri ma ajidu wa uhadhir. Another wazifa for back problems, because so many people are affected by back pains, back aches, lower back, upper back, middle, and makes it difficult for them to walk properly or to perform salah. Allah protect us. Recite Suratul Fatiha 41 times, but each time with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This must be recited between the sunnah and the fard of Salatul Fajr. It must be done till recovery. And it's mentioned that this is a tried and tested wazifa. You can actually find this wazifa in a beautiful booklet called Ailing Worshipper on page 44. If you want to get your hands on this booklet, the hard copy you can obtain from Maktabatul Madina, which is a publications department and the bookshop of Dawat Islami, or you can download the free ebook, the PDF online from dawatislami.net. All right, now for pains in the arms, in the legs, the following must be written down 786 times, 786 times on a clean piece of paper. Right? What is to be written down? Very easy, very simple. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Write this down on a clean piece of paper 786 times, plastic coated, and fold it, wrap it up like a ta'weez, an amulet, sew it in a piece of cloth or leather, tie it around the arm or the neck, wherever you're comfortable. Allah willing, if somebody has any pains in the arms or legs, it will prove effective for them. You can also use this if a person is affected by the influence of nazr-e bad, evil eyes. For it to wear off, you can use this ta'weez as well. Subhanallah Azawajal. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Jazakallah for bringing me this knowledge. My question is, what can I recite or do for eye pain? Jazakallah khairan.
Ameen wa iyyakum. Allah. Vision is a great bounty from Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. In fact, all our senses, our ability to hear, to smell, to speak, these are all bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine for a moment that I lose my eyesight. Allah protect our eyesight. Grant us the sight of Medina Sharif, of Ka'batullah, the grand green emerald dome of Masjid al-Aqsa. But if we were to lose our eyesight, think about it. Close your eyes. Try to do your work for a minute. Try to move from point A to point B with your eyes closed or blindfolded. And then open your eyes and think. And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great ni'mat, this great bounty of seeing, the ability to see. And so how do we thank Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? By obeying Him. Best way to obey Him. Refrain from looking at forbidden things. You know, they say looking at the color green improves one's eyesight. In particular, when you awaken in the morning, and if you look at the color green, it will help with strengthening the eyesight. Okay, there are some wadaif for different types of eye problems. For example, if a person's eyes turn red, if they start paining, then what should they do? Recite the following 10 times. Or you may need somebody to recite it, because then they would have to recite and do dam onto your eyes and blow onto your eyes. Recite 10 times. Ya muqeetu, ya muqeetu, ya muqeetu. 10 times Durud-i Pak, once before and after, and blow into the eyes of the person whose eyes are paining or their eyes have turned red. This wazifa you can find in another beautiful book that every Muslim home should have a copy of. It's called Madani Treasure of Blessings. This book contains wazaif and invocations for different types of problems. There is a chapter on the blessings of keeping nafil fasts. There's a chapter on nafil salas, when to perform them, how to perform them, the method of it, the benefits, the reward one will attain, like Suratul Tahajjud, Suratul Ishraq, Suratul Duha, Suratul Awabin. Istikhara Salah is also there, the method. Suratul Hajat is there, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. There's a section, there's a chapter on the blessings of Salawat and Durud-i Pak. There's a chapter on holy months, different months, with what to do, what to recite in those months. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. For one's eyesight to never go weak. Look, everything is in the control and power of Almighty Allahu Jalla Jalaluhu. When we recite these wada'if, it must be with full conviction and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is mentioned, if a person wants their eyes to be protected from getting weak, then when they make wudu, whenever, when maybe you want to read Quran, or you want to perform salah, nafil salah, when you make wudu, then after your wudu, look up towards the sky. You do not have to look at the sky itself, so long as you're looking upwards. Your head is facing upwards towards the sky. So after wudu, raise your head towards the sky and recite Suratul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. The whole surah one time. By being regular with this practice, inshaAllah ta'ala, that person's eyesight will never become weak. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. If a person's eyesight has become weak, or they are suffering from any type of eye disease, then recite the following 41 times. Ya Shakuru, Ya Shakuru, Ya Shakuru. 41 times Durud-i Pak, once before and after, and then blow onto some water. Then take this water and rub it onto the eyes. Continue with this practice until recovery. If a person's eyesight has weakened to the point where they have lost their eyesight, again, everything is in the control and power of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the eyesight is lost, then recite the following 41 times with Durud-i Pak, once before and after, and then place some water in your hands, not a lot, just a little bit, onto your hands. After reciting the following 41 times, blow onto it. Do dam. And then put this water onto the face and gently rub the eyes. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, there will be benefit in doing this. So what is to be recited? Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahimu, Ya Allahu, Ya Salamu. So this is going to be recited 41 times. One whose eyesight is gone weak, or who has lost the eyesight, 41 times recite that with Salat ala Nabi Durud Pak, once before and after. Whilst you are having some water in your hands, thereafter blow into that, rub it on your face, rub your eyes gently. This will have some benefit for the person, inshallah ta'ala. This must be practiced for 7 consecutive days. There is a Madani pearl of advice that before you start reciting, place a clean piece of cloth below you. As you have water in your hands, below that, have a clean piece of cloth. Why? Because you're going to be reciting these beautiful sifat of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and doing dam and blowing into the water. For the water not to get dishonored. So if any drops drip off, at least it will be soaked by that clean piece of cloth. Amir Ahl Sunnah, Shaykh Tariqat, the founder of Dawud Islami, a Kamil Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, a great scholar of Islam that is followed by tens of millions around the globe, has given another beautiful, sweet and short, easy wazifa for eye problems. The following should be recited 3 times after every salah. And then blow onto a finger, then just gently touch it onto the eyes. This practice, in fact, we should do throughout our life. It is simple, it is easy, it will take a few seconds only. Allah willing, the eyesight weakness will be removed, and if one is suffering from white or black cataract, then that too will be removed, inshallah ta'ala. So we should recite 3 times after every salah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then blow onto a finger and rub it or touch it onto the eyes. This wazifa as well you can find in that booklet I mentioned earlier, Ailing Worshipper, on pages 39 to 40. If a person has itchy eyes, the eyes are sore, there is a problem with the eyes, then experts say that they should not rub the eyes, as this could make the problem worse. There's another beautiful wazifa. I'll share one more, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, that the third kalima sharif should be recited. Third kalima, 3 times with durud sharif, once before and after. And then blow onto the index finger and gently rub. If a person has some pimple in the eye, like a sty, then shake the finger. Inshallah ta'ala, the person will be healed from that eye sty, to the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's just quickly go over the third kalima. Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. You can find the kalimas in the beautiful book, another book that every Muslim household should have, which is called Laws of Salah. The app is also available, or rather online. You can download the free PDF ebook that's available. And the different kalimas are there as well. And you can visit any of our branches for a special eye ta'weed. And from the responsible individuals there, they will explain how that special eye ta'weed is to be used. I think we have time for one more call, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Brothers, I just like to find out, there are some people who like to show off and belittle others. So what are the harms of a person having ostentation? If you could just highlight a few points for us, I would greatly appreciate it, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, so there's 2 aspects here. One is belittling others, and the other is ostentation, meaning to show off. Riya, riyakari. This is a major spiritual disease that many of us are affected by. Belittling of others shows insecurity of the person. Because this idea of bullying, it exists not only in schools, it can exist in madrasa, it can exist in university, in the workplace. A person feels entitled, has a superiority complex, and then belittles others, taunts others, makes others feel inferior. This is part of oppression. Whether it's physical assault, emotional assault, psychological assault, verbal, it's oppression. And it's a violation of human rights. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I take an oath by my honor and magnificence, I will surely avenge the cruel sooner or later. I will also avenge the one who doesn't help the oppressed despite having the ability to do so. Allahu Akbar. Narrations mention that in the hellfire, there will be people who will be afflicted with such a punishment that they will start itching. Their bodies will start uncontrollably itching. They will itch, they will scratch to such an extent, and they will get no relief, that they will scrape off their flesh, their meat, and their bones will be exposed. And they will be told, oh you, are you feeling the pain? They will say, yes, we are feeling the pain. And then it will be said to them, this is the recompense of the pain that you used to cause to the Muslims. Before I belittle anybody, before I put anybody down, think about it. What if I am going to be suffering from that? Allah protect us. Always uplift each other. And regarding showing off, Allahu Akbar. That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Jannah, paradise, haram, prohibited for those people who are ostentatious. Those people that show off. The people who do good but with evil intentions. So we should protect our good deeds, hide our good deeds, build our sincerity, and inshallah azza wa jal, then through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be accepted. Inshallah ta'ala. Stay connected to Dawud Islami in order to learn about the sunnah and to get encouragement to practice upon the deen. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.